Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Ew. Gotta get rid of this old Backstreet Boys t-shirt.
Tell me why.
Because it stinks, boys.
Tell me why.
I've washed it so many times, but the odor won't come out.
Tell me why.
No, you tell me why I can't get rid of this odor.
Have you tried Downy Rinse and Refresh? It doesn't just cover up odors. It helps remove them.
Wow, it worked, guys.
Yeah.
Downy Rinse and Refresh removes more odor in one wash than the leading value detergent in three washes. Find it wherever you buy laundry products.
Yeah. Ready? Let's get it.
I'm telling you why. You can see in their eyes, them boys ain't playing, they ready to ride. Shaking the tunnel, just screaming and yelling. If you ain't ready, you get eaten alive. Taking the field with loads of passion. Swagging out with the flyest fashions. Cameras out and they steady flashing. Captain's out, we about to get it cracking. Full of crashing in between those lines. You boys, we about to ride. We're a band of brothers and we stick together like an army mission when it's wartime. We stacking them W's, pay attention. Opponents coming with apprehension. We stay on top of our division. Went from BCS buses to playoff contenders.
On the rise up, now the boys mad, mad, mad. We had to tighten them boys up. We here for the crown, crown. We on the rise up, now the boys mad, mad, mad.
That's right.
We had to tighten them boys up. We here for the crown, crown.
Welcome back, everybody, to the latest Utah Football Fans podcast episode. We took a week off. Now we're back.
It's good to be back.
We took the bye week too.
It was the bye.
I needed it.
You know, we
mentally,
we needed to rest
physically.
Up.
Nagging, the injuries.
Nagging ankle injury from stepping on the bleacher. I had to ice it. It was a whole thing.
And hey, we had a game on Saturday, and boy, was it a game. We will get into it. Follow us, like, subscribe. Please leave us a review. We're all on
a
all.
Good, a positive review,
yeah,
please.
Yeah, maybe I need to clarify.
If you haven't read some of the negative ones, though, you should. They're pretty funny. They're pretty good. There's quite a few people that are like, these people are morons, but the blonde's pretty cute.
Oh, thanks.
True. So it's pretty inappropriate these days, but
what
okay.
A compliment.
I'm going to cancel.
Very intellectual.
That's just great. Yeah. I'll even take the compliment from Zubies. It's fine. But leave us a review, a positive one.
Positive
please.
One. We need it.
We'll get into the game, but it is Monday, and of course we wanted to touch on that today was Aaron Lowe's funeral. I'm sure all of you have seen the fact that our entire team went to Texas to be at the funeral, to participate in the funeral. I don't think I expected that the team and the coaching staff would be as involved in the funeral as they were. Quite a few of them spoke. Coach Witt, Coach Shaw, even Taylor Randall, president of the University of Utah, he was there, and I think he said a few words, and then some of his fellow players. I didn't watch the funeral. I've seen some of the clips of it, but just heartbreaking. And I, seeing his teammates and his coaches act as the pallbearers is what really got me. I mean, that's incredibly emotional. It's just horrific.
It was. I watched a lot of it, not all of it, but a lot of it. It was a great tribute to Aaron. I would just recommend, if you haven't had a chance to see it, I'm sure you can go find a link, probably on our Facebook page. You could probably find the link and watch the...
Well, we did have somebody in our Facebook group who was there. I can't remember her name now, but she was posting videos.
Yeah, so it's her, and there were a couple of other places you can find it. And they're probably there still to find. Just research it, look it up. You can find it. It's worth listening to. And like you said, it was really cool to see the team walk in. Of course, all the U of U stuff, the helmets that they had out. But the Reverend Davis was there. He spoke, which was fantastic. Coach Witt spoke, like you mentioned. Mark Harlan spoke.
Oh, okay.
And then Taylor Randall, the president of the university, was there, and he spoke. Coach Shaw, which was fantastic.
Yeah, if you haven't heard Coach Shaw's, it's made me emotional.
It was emotional. And then the three players came up. Clark Phillips, he was there probably more for support. He didn't say anything. Jackson spoke. It was great. And then I forgot the last player. I think he's a freshman corner. Hasn't seen any action yet. I think he was a roommate to Aaron, and what he said was great. So I would just recommend anyone that hasn't had a chance to listen, maybe watch it and listen. It's worth it. And we just send our love and prayers out to his mother, his family, and his brothers on the team.
Well, and you think about, so we played football against Washington State, and then this happened the next day. It was absolutely horrible. And our team has been dealing with that during the bye week. And then we go to USC, have an amazing game. We win. 2 days later, they're going to the funeral for their friend. Like this, the ups and downs over the last few weeks that our team is going through. We're just going to mention again, we did post this. James, you posted it in our Facebook group. These players are going through so much, and you can see that in what I just said, the ups and downs of what they've had to go through this last week. So we have made the executive decision in our Facebook group, but we're just not going to take the player bashing, the coach bashing at all this year. Mm-mm. A lot of people get really into it. They attack the players personally, the coaches personally. We all understand getting frustrated about certain things in a game. But this year, we're just not going to have it.
Yeah.
The team's going through too much. We need positivity and support, and that's all they need from us right now. And the football is just a game, and we need to remember that, especially this year.
Well said.
Well said. Yeah, we're just not going to tolerate it. I last year I got as frustrated as anybody. Same things. This year, can we just be positive? These guys have been through more in the last 9 months than most of us have ever had to experience. I mean, they've lost two family members. Teammates, but it's family.
Yeah, you can see that by the funeral. You can
see the funeral. I mean, it was emotional, and then everything you just said. I'm not going to go back into it, but that's let's be positive.
Yeah.
No booing, no calling for anybody's head or any of that. Okay, let's have some fun, be positive, support the crap out of these guys. I mean, the fact that they actually, first of all, are still playing football. Mm-hmm. If they had just said, you know what, we're hanging it up, I would have supported them fully.
Which I'm sure all of you probably did hear this, that it does sound like Aaron Lowe's mom did address the team last week, and she very much gave them the encouragement to go on and said, this is what Aaron would want from all of you. Mm-hmm. And I think that gave them a boost, but grief is hard and it's horrible, and it's going to be such an up and down thing for the rest of the season, for the rest of their lives. So we, as the Utah football fans, are only here to support them this year more than ever. That's what we're going to do.
All right.
Well, there was a game, and the fact game that they were able to get their heads right.
Jaquindon Jackson said, if you listen to him, he goes, that victory was for Aaron.
Yeah.
He made that statement.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's cool. So,
and real quick, they're retiring number 22.
Oh, yeah.
So that's going to be an official thing. And Whittingham even said last week, we hadn't addressed it. He said that as long as he was coach, no one would ever wear 22 again. And he was hoping it'd be a permanent thing. So they're going to retire number 22. And I love it. I think it's a great decision. So,
okay. So USC, we took them out, man.
But we hadn't beat in the Coliseum 42. For 116 years.
You know what bugged me? There were so many media outlets after the game that kept saying it was our first win in the Coliseum. And I'm thinking, I kept seeing all the things that we hadn't won since 1916, but we have won there before, right?
Mm-mm. Not at the Coliseum.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's why.
We've beat USC at USC.
But it wasn't never, the Coliseum.
Yeah, but we've only played in the Coliseum, what?
Like, I know, like six times.
Six, eight times. I mean, it's a big deal, but it was a big W. We never won
down there.
By the way, I'm staring at the biggest bug on the wall in the bunker. What is that?
What the freak is that thing?
Where?
All right, hold on.
It's a bunker critter.
My gosh.
Don't make it fly.
If you haven't noticed, we've moved. We're in an actual bunker now.
And there's a giant.
Just let it be.
No, I got to look at this thing.
No, because if it flies, then we're in trouble.
You're going to tear your... You're going to tear your headphones.
It's a freaking horse fly.
No, that's not a fly. That's not a fly. That's like a beetle. Anyways.
He's pissed off now, too.
USC.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's talk USC.
Keep your eye on it, because if it disappears, then I'm going to be freaked out.
God dang, that thing is huge.
Okay, let's talk about the game, obviously. I mean,
it was a butt whooping.
It was sweet.
It was amazing.
42-26. But let's start here. Probably not the places you would usually start, but this, as I thought about it, let's start here. Now you tell me what you think. Zero turnovers.
Yes.
Oh.
Okay, think about that.
Yes.
Zero turnovers, man. We had
the
fumble risky. The other...
Well, we didn't even put the ball on the ground. Like, it wasn't even like we fumbled it.
I think we dropped one. I think Ryzen dropped one and he recovered it or something.
Yeah, okay. That's true. He did.
But, look, we...
All that aside.
No turnovers of any kind. And that is... It matters.
Well, yeah, considering the last game we played, we...
All season, every game we've had, that's been a problem. So number one, that's one of Witt's number one things anyway. And mm-hmm. and we had a pick. Davis, I think it was Vontae Davis, picked it off.
Yeah, on the fourth down play.
So we got an interception. But anyway, we didn't turn it over. Second, which I thought was, we had two penalties the whole game. No turnovers, two penalties.
Is that right?
That's it?
That's right.
They were both on Ford then. He had the personal foul and an illegal block.
Just saying, that's clean. Turnovers and two penalties.
How is that possible?
I'm sure that's right. Look it up, man. You look at your stats.
Can I look at my phone now?
Look at that thing you got right there.
I can't. I'm watching Julian Blackman cause a fumble that went all the way back for a touchdown.
Oh, nice.
Nice job, Blackman, but they're reviewing it, so we'll see.
Two penalties. I think that's impressive.
Correct. So two penalties. And okay, so that alone sets you on a course for victory. Your thoughts on
I'll give you my thoughts.
No, on this. Let me move on this. On this, I won't reference him. Never mind. The O line and D line. Because the fact of the matter is, you only go as far as your offensive line and your defensive lines. It's always in the trenches. It just is. What do you think about the O-line play in that game? Go, Bryn. Talk to us.
Nick Ford must have listened to me.
Nick Ford.
He listens. He must have, because I coached him.
The puck's gone, man.
No, it's moved over there.
Oh, it's over.
It's coming closer.
It's getting closer to me.
Better watch your back. Anyways, Nick Ford. Yes. He got it together, like I've been telling him for the last few weeks. The snaps weren't as out of control. O-line.
He played great.
The O-line, it clicked on Saturday.
Yeah.
They played great.
There's a couple of things. The O-line played the best game they've played. I'll say this real quick. This was the Utah team I've been expecting to see all season.
Yes.
This was the team that I was hyped all offseason to see. Watching this game, they dominated. Mm-hmm. This had feels of when Utah blew out Oregon at Oregon. This was kind of that same feel. Just beat the crap out of him. The O-line played great. Mika Tafua is an absolute man-child on the D-line. There were Thomas. Dude, he held onto the ball, number one. But he's an absolute animal. So it was just great. And then Cam Rising, what do you say? The guy played out of his mind. So
but okay, but on the, for the offensive line, if you think back on it, whether it was, there it is.
Oh my gosh, it's flying.
It does fly.
It's a bee.
No, it's not.
Oh, it just, oh. Where the fuck? It just flew in front of the camera.
Freaking beetle.
Oh my gosh, now it's on our light.
It's a beetle.
YouTube, did you just see that?
That was
it's going to attack us all.
The attack of the bunker beetle.
This is embarrassing. This is embarrassing.
It's a freaking beetle. Relax.
It flew so close to me, though.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, anyways, O-line. Yes. O-line.
Okay, whether it was the running game, the passing game, they were great.
They were great.
Okay, that's how we need them to play. That's how we expected them to play. They played great. The defensive line, man, whether we got to Slovis or not, he was under pressure. And even when he got rid of the ball, he got hit a million times.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
The D-line, yeah, Tafua, two sacks.
Tafua, he's an absolute beast.
Other, you know, rushes upon the quarterback. I don't know. The D-line, I just felt like in the trenches.
Oh,
it was a different game.
Yeah, we dominated. At least,
and in particular, the offense. What is my hearing?
It's someone's outside the bunker
talking very loudly.
Very loudly.
God, we have so many distractions.
Calm down
today.
In here.
Jeez.
Anyway, that to me is where we start. And then it goes with you. So Cam Rising, what do you think?
He unreal. He played so freaking well. His decision making, number one, was spot on. He never put the ball in a spot that was even remotely close to being picked off. And guys, we went downfield with the ball.
Oh, I know. It's
like
amazing.
Seven or eight times.
Well, I've got that stat. Keep talking.
His decision making was good. I felt like he kept the pace of the game. He was running our offense, is what it definitely felt like. He had the confidence to do it. He made the throws. I mean, if you haven't heard, of course, the flea flicker. Try saying that three times fast. The beetle's still on our light.
I know.
The flea flicker was Rising calling that play.
Accidentally.
The mix up, but then they went with it. And I mean, that was unbelievable. Cam came into his own in this
game.
I think the difference between Washington State and this game was huge.
Two points. First is what you just said, James, is we had four touchdown drives of 75 yards or longer.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Okay, yeah. So there's that. The other thing with Rising that we have to realize, other than his injury, you know, in four plays last year against USC, you can't really count that.
It's gone up and over the light now. I'm watching it.
Okay.
Don't worry.
It's okay. This is his second start.
Yeah, it's only his
everybody think second. About this. This is his second start as a college quarterback, and it's so positive. You could just he came into his own. Some great things. The other thing I'll just throw out here at this point is, and I didn't write down or catalog all of the explosive chunk plays, because we haven't had any, I don't think, or very few this year, and that's not usually what Utah does, but in this game, we had some huge plays.
Huge
the
plays.
Flea flicker.
It's hard to say.
The fee flicker. That's a Vele. Okay. That is a huge, big play. We had...
It was so un-Utah.
I was just thinking that in my head.
It was like,
fourth down, dude.
It's fourth and one. Let's try and run the clock out and hopefully get it and kick a field goal. No.
Let's go for the end zone.
38-yard bomb.
I loved it. Loved it. Well, because it worked.
Then,
but
Yeah. Then we had a 40-plus yard to Theo Howard.
Mm-hmm.
Another big play.
And then Thomas had a run.
40-yard run for a touchdown, and I'm missing something
which
else
wasn't even my favorite play from Thomas. There was a play where he stayed in to block, and they had a corner blitz.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And he put the guy 7 feet under the ground on a pancake block. It was.
I feel like that was our
that's
touchdowns.
Actually a play in the game, dude.
No, because the next play,
if you haven't seen it, look it up.
Yeah, the next play, Thomas took it 38 yards, whatever it was.
The pancake block.
Creamed him.
You know what I feel about Rising? Because Utah football, they'll post the pictures before the game and things like that. And there was a picture of Rising coming out on the field, and he just had the
biggest smile on his face.
Looked
like he was coming from heaven.
He probably was. But, like, he just had the biggest smile on his face. He was so excited to be... I don't know. Like, he kind of... I feel like he radiates...
There's an energy.
That energy.
Oh, there's no question.
And that definitely showed.
You know what my favorite play of the whole game was, though? Wasn't the flea flicker.
To Cole fathering flea-flicker. Him? Your...
So, first of all, Cole had a huge block, too, on the Thomas run.
He did.
We don't talk about that. Favorite play of the game. We take a knee. There's 50 seconds left in the game. And the jack wagon from USC calls a timeout. The game's over. So you know what Whittingham does? Calls a 12-yard pass.
I love that, Kyle.
I freaking loved it.
Love it, Kyle.
We should have gone for the end zone, in my opinion.
Ram it down their throat.
But really, like,
yeah, it was,
game's over,
it
bud.
Was sweet.
It was sweet. It was sweet. It was such a fun game.
I loved watching Thomas.
Yeah.
I mean.
An absolute beast.
Now, I like our running backs.
Thomas Pledger, is the guy, though.
I like Bernard. But to me, it seemed obvious that he finally got back in the game, and you could tell they've been working with him and holding the ball. But just his power and his energy, there was just something that he's the guy. If he can hold on to the ball, he is going to be the premier back. Now, what I do like about Bernard, for instance, though, is out of the backfield, the screens and stuff
he
like
can catch
that.
Catch it.
He's get some great plays with that. He's a threat, particularly with that. But, man, as a running back, Thomas seems to be the guy if he can hold on to the ball.
Yeah.
Because he came into the game and it was different.
He made huge plays, and he's got that really aggressive running back, so hard to tackle, and you just ran all over
him. No, the first guy never brings him down.
No,
the first guy never brings him down. And
it's very Zach Moss.
My favorite thing is, it was freaking USC. Every guy on that field on Saturday was a 5-star recruit. Every single one of them. Now, credit to Drake London or whatever the dude's name is. He had 180 yards receiving.
Well, he's the only offense.
And in all reality, Clark Phillips is a freshman playing on the best receiver in the entire country.
And he did a good job.
A pretty dang good job.
He did.
Yeah, quit, though. Right after the game, someone asked him about it. Mitchell or Riley. Had another name, but... asked Witt about that they thought he played good, though, basically saying what you just said.
Yeah.
And he acknowledged it, but he goes, he made some mistakes, though. He made some judgments, and... I mean,
he's
a guy...
young, though.
The thing is, London didn't catch all of his 160 yards man-to-man against Phillips.
No.
I mean, there was some zone and other stuff, and... Yeah, there were some mistakes... Some positives. I'm not disagreeing with you, but he's got to tighten it up a little bit.
Well, he's
but
got,
it still
he's
felt
got
like he was doing well
learn.
At times.
I mean, that's the thing. He didn't get burned every time, but does USC even have a running back? I think we said this when we were watching the game. Do they even have a running back?
And he's probably a 5-star dude that's unbelievable.
Well,
their play calling's ridiculous.
They never play him.
Well, let me ask this then. Okay, I was thinking about this.
Yeah, how many yards did their running back have? Because I know that Slovis had like 400 yards.
I think he had, though, like 70 or 80 yards.
Let's see, I can tell you.
70. Back?
70.
Ingram.
Yeah. Okay, you're talking USC, and I agree with you. Their recruiting, it's USC. But USC is a bad football team.
Oh, no question about it.
Utah played good. Absolutely dominated because USC isn't the USC of old. They're one-dimensional. It's London. I mean, Slovis threw, I think, 50-something times in the game. But when I'm watching it, and to be honest, USC sucks right now.
He's coming at you.
Get this thing out of here.
It's like where's a bat. There's a bat.
Where's the guard dog when you need it?
James, go grab that thing.
No, I'm not touching that thing.
If you guys are going to freak out.
I don't know where it went now.
It's on the couch
right there.
Oh, cool.
USC's a bad football team. They have, to me, have hit rock bottom. They're out of it this year. They're not going to catch up with us for sure.
No.
But the thing is, I think USC has hit rock bottom. I think they held on to Helton way too long.
For 2 years too long.
I don't know what behind doors, what they're talking about, but he wasn't the guy. They just held on to him too long, and this has just gone down in the crapper.
Right, because they have talent. They have so much talent.
I guess so, but we kicked their butt.
That's what's so scary about it, yeah. Is at some point, I mean, it's freaking USC. When they get the coaching hire right, which at some point is going to happen, they're going to be a top four program again,
yeah.
Basically overnight. I mean, we've been saying this. It's pretty much been this way, though, since Carroll left the program.
I know.
They haven't had a good hire since then. They've had a couple of good seasons, but it has not been consistent. When they get the hiring, and I don't think it's going to be Herb. After all the crap going with Herb, I've heard a bunch. I would be surprised if it was Herb, personally.
Not in today's environment.
Chris Peterson is another name that's been thrown out there. He has been reported to have already turned the job down.
Yeah, I've heard that.
So we'll see what happens. I'm loving the fact that they're trash.
Oh, yeah. We kicked their butts.
I love it.
Are you?
Next, all I want is Oregon to
okay,
be this,
let me,
this
can
bad.
I, okay, let me. Okay. For Utah, for not having them the dominant team, it's great for us, okay?
Yeah.
But nationally speaking,
it's very important that they're good, nationally speaking.
It's bad for the conference, for our league, that USC should be a national threat.
True.
They always have been. And it's great for Utah. To me, I'd rather rise to their level and not have them falter and go into the dumper like they are right now. I don't know. I find it.
I mean, just love beating
I'm satisfied
them.
That we beat them, that they're not very good. But then at the same time, I think it's great for college football, particularly for the West.
Yeah.
That USC is one of those teams.
Yeah. I would say that you could get Oregon and Washington, who is a dumpster fire right now too, and USC, those three programs out West need to be good to give respect.
Utah needs to be
to the West side. Now, Utah could be one of the top four teams for 6 years in a row, and because we're Utah, we're not going to get that respect.
Did you see, though, today, Kirk Herbstreit named his top coaches of the week? Kyle Whittingham was fourth.
Well, Kyle Whittingham should be fourth. After all the crap that Kyle Whittingham just went, it's very cool, went through, and then he had this team that level of prepared and focused. It's unbelievable. If they had come out and led an absolute dump, you'd be going, I get it.
Right.
But this team came out and did the exact opposite. It's incredible.
42 points. None of us predicted 42 points.
Yeah, what
points.
Was our scores?
So No.
I think I was 28-24.
You were 28-24. You were 28-21.
Yeah.
I was 34-24.
We scored 42 points.
I'm glad I was that wrong. I never saw it coming.
I never saw this coming.
Love it.
But we almost picked USC. I mean, it's off by 2 points.
It doesn't count.
Yes, it does.
Gary, no, it doesn't.
That's scary.
Just because you're so far off every time
that's
doesn't
Gary's
mean.
Go-to
I'm 5 points off. I was 21.
Yeah, I'm only two.
You know, I didn't look if anybody else got it right. I
know we
it.
Should look.
Hold on. You guys keep talking. I'm going to look it up.
That's right. We had
we asked
some predictions.
Oh, that's right.
What?
I put that poll out there. I forgot about that.
On our group.
On the group. Were we going to win? Now, this good or bad in your minds? 76% said we're going to win. 24%,
quick math,
said,
"Yeah, that was dangerous."
That was 24. Didn't think we were going to win. Is that good or is that bad?
Well, I think it's good that people were saying
that many,
we were
or should have
win.
Been more Utah fans.
Well.
Yeah, I mean, Utah.
What do you
fan,
think
I'm
about
also
that?
Very realistic, though.
I told you, man.
I legit did think we were going to win this game.
I did too.
I felt very good. Now, again, did I think that we were going to beat the wheels off them like this? No, absolutely not.
Okay,
but it was sure fun to watch it. Okay, I'm trying to find.
But there's no way I was going to predict we were going to score 42 after what our offense had been doing for the.
No, I thought it was going to be a lot closer fight.
Those games. So hey, be that.
I love this comment. Macy Losey. I apologize if I'm butchering that. I agree. Just says Drake London is a little bitch.
Yeah, he was
talking trash and we're beating him by 20 points.
We got in his head, dude. Oh, he was out.
He was just chirping, and I'm going, bud, you're down by 29 points or whatever the freak it was.
Yeah, you look like an idiot when you're talking trash.
Yeah, when the guy's out of bounds by 5 yards and you shove him down.
And you shove him. Ooh, big tough guy.
Tough, huh? Yeah. Okay, well, any other thoughts on USC? All I know is that was
fun.
It was so much fun, and it wasn't because we just was grind them out. Like, no, sometimes. No,
we beat them.
We, big plays. I don't know, man. It was cool. It was so much fun.
It was fun. I feel like,
look, Andy, Mr. Ludwig.
He's an avid listener.
I know, Andy. I know you listen.
We text all frequently. The time.
Would you please open it up like this?
Keep doing that. That game plan was amazing.
Open it up. Just keep. Let's push the ball down the field. They can do it. They can do it.
It was fantastic. We didn't mention Money Parks.
Is that the sweetest name?
The best name
ever.
I didn't even know. I mean,
he's a freshman.
He hasn't really played.
It was his first catch, first touchdown. At the Coliseum. And the dude's name is Money Parks.
It's the best.
I want to meet this man.
It's not his real name.
I don't care.
He was interviewed after the game.
It's his real name in my heart.
Right. Riley and Mitchell interviewed
him. You have to think through it.
I can't.
Keep going. There it is.
And I forgot his, look it up and tell me, but I think he was like 3 years old. They called him Money.
And he went with it?
It's Montez. It's not Montez. It's.
Okay, but I don't care.
Anyway, and it's been Money the rest of it. I love it. He's a freshman.
Yeah.
Comes in, first play, but they were practicing it, he said. He knew he'd be getting the ball, and
it was amazing. Loved it.
Money Parks, man.
So we had the poll, by the way. It was 76 to 23. We would win. So 80 people said we would lose.
Losers?
They're probably the ones that got kicked out of the group over the weekend.
I'm sure 3 or 4 of them were.
Because we kicked out some.
I kicked out a handful.
We kicked out some people.
Some deserved it, by the way.
Yeah, I don't feel bad about it. No. Oh, I do have some score predictions. I'll run through them through here. If anybody got it right, I'll give you a shout.
Put your name out.
What was the final? What was it?
42-26.
26. No 26. One's gonna get that.
26. Okay. All right. Well, as great as that was, and it certainly puts us in a – that basically knocks out USC. And
we're in the driver's seat.
And even if there was some weird crap that happened head-to-head, they're done.
They're done.
So yeah. With us, it's basically over. So this week
– this is the week.
ANSU. Yeah. Can I say ANSU for ASU?
Yeah.
So, that is their name.
It's ANSU.
Thusly known as.
They're coming into town.
Yeah, you got to really pronounce it. ANSU.
ASU, ANSU.
I don't understand the problem.
They are 3-0.
Did you just flip me off?
No, I went 3-0.
Four. You're really good at math.
Go.
It's late. 3-0 in the conference.
We said
we're 2-0 in conference.
These 2 weeks are the season, basically. USC, we've taken care of that. Now it's ANSU.
I've said this before. I don't believe in UCLA. I think that they're a paper dragon a little bit. Paper tiger. I don't believe in them. Okay? You can edit that later.
No.
Anyway, I don't believe in them. I think it comes down to Utah and ANSU. And I think this game, obviously there's a lot of football left, but this game is huge.
What are they? They're 19th?
They're rated 19th in the country. Coming here, 8 p.m. kick. It's going to be, that place is going to be rocking, baby.
The thing is, here's what with the Sun Devils is... Can we win? Absolutely. Can we win? Can we lose? We can lose.
Yeah.
Yes. No, that sounds stupid, but no, there's sometimes you're going to play a team that the odds are by far you're going to lose the game. They come rolling in, we've played some teams. But with ASU, we've watched them.
Mm-hmm.
Watch him against the Zoobs and watch him a little bit on some other games. It's all Daniels. The guy, they have a running back, but the main threat is Daniels, the little twig. The guy's a, he's a twig. What does he weigh? 150? They probably say he weighs 180, but the guy looks like he weighs 150.
I've got him pulled up right
but
here.
But he it's all him. It all goes through him.
185.
And he is a threat. No way he weighs
185?
That.
185? No.
So their stats this year, and whether what this means or not, I don't know, but their passing yards per game is 228 yards.
That's average.
And their rushing yards per game is 214. So they average yard. They're balanced.
They're balanced.
They average 443 yards a game. But it runs through him just because he's not a pocket quarterback.
No.
He's shifty. He's the threat. We kicked his butt
2 years ago
when they tried to
cream. I think he had 24 yards passing. So
it's going to be the same.
He's the same quarterback that mm-hmm. he was then. It's going to come down very heavily to getting pressure like we did last week. ANSU's got a very good defense. So they rely very heavily on their defense. Their defense is way better than what we just played against SC. So they're very good, very disciplined, great defense. And then you're right. Every now and then, little Daniels makes a play, and that's how they've been winning. So it's going to be a very tight game. It should be awesome.
Yeah, 8 o'clock. You've already mentioned it. Everyone be there on this
There's
thing.
No excuses yeah, to be late for this.
You know, I'm concerned because I'm seeing all over our Facebook group people selling their tickets. They're not going to be there. Dang. I understand it's fall break. I think a lot of people are out of town. Find somebody to use your tickets.
Give them away for Pete's sakes.
Give your tickets away. We need the stadium packed. And that goes for the students as well because it is fall break. So come back from your trip. First of all, you can be back by Saturday. If you're not going to be back, find someone to use your ticket. You can get student tickets still. Each student can get up to 3 tickets for $25 each. Be at
this
the
is,
game.
This, you're right, James.
On time.
But you well, said it. Yeah. So here's the significance.
Of course I'm right.
The advantage that Utah has is we have ASU at home. Mm-hmm. And we have UCLA.
And Oregon. We have all three teams at home.
But here's my point with ANSU and UCLA is they're the ones we're going to be contending with in the South.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can win the head-to-head, you can. If you have the equal record,
you win.
You win. And so if we could beat, and it's a big deal, we have them at home, it should be an advantage. They're both going to be at Rice-Eccles.
Yep.
If we can beat them, and even then after that, because those guys are not going to go, neither of them going undefeated.
No, they'll lose.
They're
going to
lose some games as well. But if we can beat them, and Utah has then a buffer. Against,
oh, this game is humongous.
Against either of them, it's much different from losing to them, and then you go beat Colorado and everybody else. But ASU then has the game up on us. So if we end up tied, they have the tiebreaker. Yeah. So these games are massive. If we can beat them on Saturday, we're in the driver's seat to win the South.
Utah
and get that ball rolling, man. That's my thought on the significance of these.
Just remember 2 years ago, what freaking a-holes ASU was.
Oh, they're
and the
king
dirty
of the pricks.
Crap that they were pulling through that game, and then Herm didn't take any responsibility for it. Just remember that.
Yeah, I remember.
Be there and use that anger to support our
they
team.
They are undisciplined.
They're very undisciplined.
Oh, and that can freaking be, pricks.
Let them be.
Let them be.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna rip on this one more time. Guy on my row, that doesn't matter if the game starts at 12 or 8. Shows up.
Oh, I know who you're talking, you know who talking about.
Everyone knows who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That shows up consistently 15 minutes after kickoff.
8 p.m. You should be able
it
to be
it doesn't matter
time.
If it's 11:30 in the morning.
Leave your house 15 minutes earlier, people. Leave your tailgate spot. The game's at 8. You've probably been tailgating for 7 hours. You can leave 15 minutes early. This place should be absolutely rocking.
Gary leaves his tailgate an hour early. It takes 5 minutes to walk
over. It takes 7 minutes to walk over.
He leaves an hour early.
Dang right. I want to be there.
But hey.
I want to get in the atmosphere.
I want to get there, buckle my chair, look up and go, I still got 47 minutes, and sit down.
And then you've got 4 hours.
And my wife's there. Mad at me because she's going, "Why? What are we doing here?"
Exactly.
Tell her to stay. Come out later.
This game is so huge.
Yeah.
That there's no. Be there. It's late. Kids' soccer games are over. There's no excuses. Be there. Be loud. I think it's going to be an
give your tickets
awesome
away,
game.
Yeah, fill your seats.
But what you said, though, I think is actually significant.
Of course it is. When amazing.
When you look at how clean we played against USC, if we can do that and allow ANSU to be the undisciplined
jerks
that they can be.
Get a couple freebies here and there.
That is an advantage. And you... Yeah. And you take advantage.
You hit Daniels a couple times.
Break that little twig. I mean, come on.
Put the pressure on like we Tafua. Did with Slovis.
Oh, Tafua. So, Lloyd. Personally.
Lloyd would.
We win.
Can we? This is what I want. Can we just put have Lloyd and Daniels next to each other? I just want to see the difference.
Lloyd's an absolute man-child.
That's what I'm saying. No, he's a beast. There so it's like.
He's unbelievable.
Lloyd will break him in half. Just get to him.
We
and
could
then...
spend an entire podcast talking about my love for Lloyd.
Okay,
that's fine. We can look, do that.
Let's no, go. We're going to do it.
Let's go with our predictions.
I haven't thought about it enough.
Do we win? Yeah, we win.
It's 27-23 Utah.
This is the Thomas Orthodontics.
Oh yeah,
no, Thomas Orthodontics.
Gary dropped this on. We weren't prepared. Thomas Orthodontics.
Okay, predictions.
Is that all you're going to say? In Utah County.
Yeah.
Support him, everybody.
Good
down
dude.
In Utah
what did
County.
You just say? What was your, you started
27-23 Utah.
Hmm.
And the game ball goes to Thomas. He's going to have 2 touchdowns. Hmm. And Daniels will have 17 yards passing.
I'm going to go, oh, what am I doing? 31-28.
I could see something like that.
Utah.
I'm going 35-24.
11 points would be great.
You always go like 4 points off of me.
Well, it's football. What do you want him?
It's 35-24. Utah wins.
6-7?
Absolutely, we're going to win this freaking game. We're going to be able to put some points on him.
I think so, too. I think our defense is going to be strong enough that we're going to be able to stop him.
35-24.
And then it's going to be field position battle games. They're going to score some. I think we're just a better team at this point.
Let's do it, you.
Exciting.
Be there. Okay, let's go a couple other topics, though. Bryn went to Texas A&M.
Yes.
And watched an SEC game. Talk to us. Tell us about that
experience. Tell the people.
I didn't get to see the Alabama game. Freak.
That was amazing.
So you were 2 weeks ago.
I was.
Who'd they play?
Mississippi State.
Mississippi State.
And I know that because they did the chant. Beat the hell out of Mississippi State the entire game. So
can't say that.
It was an experience. Anybody who knows anything about Texas A&M, they're just so rooted in tradition. So it was fun to be able to see all the traditions. I had no idea what was going on. They sing a lot of songs where the whole stadium.
Kind of like hand gestures. And
that's stuff. Cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And
even the old geezers.
Everybody.
Yeah, the old geezers are standing. They're not complaining.
Oh, no, no, no. Weird. They are all into it.
Weird.
They all sing the song. They all like...
Turn it down!
The music was very loud.
It's too loud. I can't hear myself.
The music was on a 10 the
whole time. Turn down your freaking hearing aid and it'll be fine.
They all like kind of crouch down together when they're singing. Like the entire stadium. My husband and I are standing there like, we don't know what to do. This
Get into it!
They all put their arms around each other when they do the sway.
Oh, yeah, the sway, and every row goes opposite.
And then they have their yell leader, so it's the 5 yell leader guys down on the field who have their hand signals.
So
everybody
cool.
knows the hand signals. Everybody knows when the guy does this, that it's a certain cheer, and then the entire stadium
That's
does it.
That's cool.
How big a stadium?
It's 106. Is that 100,000 people?
That seems too many.
We looked this up. No, it's 80, like the 000. Fourth biggest or something like that.
I'll look it up.
I said this to you both. The stadium actually reminded me quite a bit of Rice-Eccles, except they have a third tier. So that makes a huge difference. But kind of the second tier down reminded me a lot of Rice-Eccles.
Did they do anything as far as like students or whatever that you wish the MUS could do?
Well... They have 20,000 students.
That's crazy.
Who go. So the campus is about 60,000
students. 102,000.
Yeah. So big stadium.
It's so double if you're right.
The students extra level take up basically end-to-end all three tiers.
Yes,
so it's just amazing. Full. And, you know, they have the cadets are intertwined with all the students, but then their whole band are cadets. I mean, the students were into it. They stand the whole time, which the MUST does too. But just having 20,000 of them, I mean, that's big. And they all do the cheers. I mean, everybody does the cheers. I wouldn't say it's like where it gets you super hyped. Like the stuff they do doesn't get you, you know, like you want to run through a brick wall. But it's so cool to see everybody doing it all together.
At what point of the game did they play Sweet Caroline?
Never. They did not play Sweet Caroline.
What about Ooga Chaka?
No. They did play...
Or Metallica turned up to 3. Up to,
yeah.
Or turn... No, no. You can't turned even, up to 9.
You can't even hear Metallica.
It's hardly even up.
They played... This is the thing that I enjoyed. They played like the Macarena and stuff, but they played those on quarter breaks. This is what we've said. You can play those songs, but play them on moments that don't matter.
That don't matter.
Halftime, don't play them at
and
all.
And then on fourth quarter...
They're stupid.
Mississippi State had missed a field goal, so A&M was going to have the ball
and immediately it was, ooga-chaka,
no.
Ooga-chaka.
It was hype.
Nope. Oh, weird.
And it was loud.
That's the key.
And then A&M lost. But you know what? It was fine.
Good but game, though. I watched it.
It was fun. It's just, it's fun to see that experience. And the SEC, it's so different.
SEC is different.
And then the fact... that they beat Alabama yesterday.
Let's talk about that not for yesterday, a second.
Saturday.
That was a game.
Can you believe that? They beat Alabama.
You should have gone to that game.
I know. Freak. Well, we couldn't have afforded tickets to that game.
No. That would have been... That was the second largest turnout they've ever had in that stadium was on
I think
Saturday.
People were camping... The students were camping out like all week last week.
Yeah.
And we were just talking about this. You've seen the video of the kicker's family... of when he comes
out. I feel bad for him, man.
I couldn't do it. If that was my son, I couldn't do it.
His poor mother couldn't even open her eyes. She was so freaking nervous. And
wouldn't
then
you be so nervous?
His girlfriend or wife or whoever she was jumps. Oh, it was good. If you haven't watched it, just look it up. It's amazing.
But they beat Alabama.
Everybody's cheering for that.
I was definitely
it was
cheering
great
for him
weekend.
Because now I feel a kinship to all of my A&M.
Yeah, she was
Aggies.
Doing the cheers in her basement.
You gotta.
I don't know all the cheers now. I need to learn them.
The thing is, I'll say this about Alabama. I hate them, so this doesn't mean I have any sympathy for them. But you have to admit, I mean, they're always the number one team.
Well, they're the best team.
And no matter who they play or where they play, it's the biggest game of the year mm-hmm. for everybody. They give them the absolute best, and they're playing good teams.
Yeah.
I got to admire the fact that they're as good as they are when they're always getting the best from everybody.
Oh, yeah.
But having said all that, I'm so glad they lost. Now,
it was
so
wonderful great. Watching Nick Saban.
So George is now one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's freaking number two? Like Iowa or something?
Iowa beat Penn State.
I don't care.
Well, Iowa
there
was
is
like,
no way Iowa's the best, second best team in the
I mean,
nation. Is that
were,
who it is?
They were fourth.
Is that what I heard?
They?
Yeah, it's Georgia, Iowa.
No. No way.
You know who's number three? I love this. Cincinnati.
No way.
Dude, Cincinnati's legit.
I don't give a crap.
No, no,
they're
no.
not better than Alabama, neither of those teams.
Yeah, but I like that it's new people this year.
I like it too. I'm just saying that's why this is stupid.
Here's where I'll disagree. I'm fine with those top three because Alabama's going to be back number two by the end of the year anyway. Okay?
Fine, I guess.
Here's where I have an issue. Oklahoma's number four. Oklahoma.
I can't even.
Number four? Give me a break. I know they beat Texas. No one cares.
Yeah,
Texas
a lot of people care.
I mean, Texas.
I know. A lot of people care.
Dude, it was 55 to
2 when
48
they came back
or something.
So I just am sick of Rattler who got benched.
He's crap.
He was garbage, but I keep getting forced that he's a great quarterback. He's not. Shut up about it.
Well, if you get benched, you're
he's
not
done.
Great.
And then he pouted, by the way. Did you see that?
The A&M Stadium.
Crybaby.
Has all you can drink soda.
That. Rice Eccles, I demand it.
You buy a soda. And then in the concourse are soda machines, and you can go back as many times as you want. And if you're a season ticket holder, you buy one cup for the whole season, it's like $30.
I'd be 700 pounds by the end of the year.
I know, you just keep going back. It was great.
I had to sneak mine in. I mean, I had to buy it there legitimately.
Your code red that you...
Yeah, I've got systems.
All right, I want to get your opinion on a couple things.
Don't give away your secrets.
I'm not giving my secrets away. I'm just telling you.
Here,
I can get anything.
We're
going to
change. We're going different direction. different direction. I'm curious. I was thinking about this, so I want to get your idea. As we all know, everybody knows, there's a few rule differences between the NFL and college ball.
Yes.
And I want to get your opinion, which you think is best.
Okay.
Or you prefer.
Let's go.
For instance.
Pass interference.
In football, or in football, in college, you can't end in a tie in college ball. You can end in a tie in the NFL.
You should not be allowed to end in a tie in a professional league, period. End of statement.
I agree with that. Yeah. That's very strange to end in a tie.
There's no reason.
I hate that in the NFL that you can actually have a tie. Now, talking about overtime, do you prefer the NFL model or the college model?
NFL model. I used to really like the college model where it was 25-yard, 25-yard line, and you go back and forth, back and forth. But now they've changed it where you only do that twice, and then it's just, it's like a shootout. It's two-point conversion back and forth.
Yeah, because they want a winner. They want to make it a winner out of it.
I didn't know that was even a rule change until this year.
So we played them
going, why? This is stupid. Yeah, I don't like that.
I don't like that new part of it, but I prefer college.
But I hate the college one. It's all-encompassing. Yeah,
it doesn't feel to me like a real football game where at least in the pros, they kick it off and then they run, and then they just play the normal.
Well, field. And in college, the game can go into overtime tied 20-20. And then by the end of the game, it's 96-94.
And it goes all in the stats and all that
stuff. And all of a sudden, you look at the stats and go, that quarterback had 15 touchdown passes.
That is true.
So, okay. So we like the NFL. Pro.
She's wrong.
I think it's cheesy in the college. I don't like it. So, okay. The other thing is another one. This is an interesting one. I mean, in college, you have the ball, you go down, you're down, plays ends. In the pros, you can go down, and if you're not touched, you can get back up and run. Do you prefer one or the other?
I think if the part of you touches the ground, you're down.
Okay, that's college.
So college.
No, pro. I like that if I get behind the defense and I make a diving catch to catch the ball, no one touches me. I can get back up and score.
I prefer the pro. You need to be touched.
Got to be touched down.
Okay.
She's just wrong. She's 0 for 3.
You know what? I like college better.
Okay. What's funny is I prefer college football.
Doesn't sound like it.
So in the NFL, on a pass to the sidelines or in the end zone, whatever, you have to have in pro ball 2 feet inbounds. Mm-hmm. In college, just one.
I'm college again.
Why?
One.
Why? Explain yourself.
Because if you have one, then you're inbounds.
No, it's 2 feet.
Oh my gosh.
I like the 2 feet. I think it just makes it
more skilled. Do you guys even like college football?
Apparently, I love college ball, but I'm just, I live with it.
Apparently, no.
But it just, I prefer.
It takes so much more skill to get the 2 feet
in. To get the 2 feet down, I just think
I saw a catch yesterday in the Cardinals game where the ball was like 6 feet out of bounds. So he's stretched out of bounds, but somehow his two feet
were in.
Touched and dragged, and it was this incredible catch.
I understand that, I think if you get one in, it should count.
Again, she's
the
over
other
four.
Thing. College ball, the clock stops after first downs. In the pros, it doesn't. It keeps running.
I'll go first on this one so that you can. I like that it keeps running, personally. I think that it stretches the game out so far. You can get the ball back in college with a minute left and no timeouts. And it's like 3 minutes if you play it right.
It's okay. Your honest answer. Do you prefer?
He likes NFL.
NFL.
I thought you said you were going to. Do you NFL. Like the? Okay.
NFL.
He's voting NFL every time. So are you.
No, well, do you know what I'm going to say? What do you think? Do you like the clock to stop after every first down?
Well, it's only the last couple minutes of the game. But yeah, anyway, continue.
It only stops in the last couple minutes of the game.
Yeah, it's not the entire game that they did.
Did it used to be the entire game?
I don't know.
Did they change that?
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think that I am. Anyway.
I thought the clock stopped when you... I don't know.
It stops. Anyway,
college or
pro.
Well,
because it only stops for like...
It stops for them long enough to move the chain.
15 seconds or whatever.
If that. It's like 5 seconds. But that's enough time for the entire offense to get up,
Well, I'm going to say college, even though you're all going to jump on me again.
I'm not. I don't jump on. I don't care if you. This is a freedom zone. You can have your.
It's a free speech zone.
Okay, free speech zone. I prefer the NFL. I don't like them stopping.
There's so much stoppage.
I just don't like it. So here's another thing. The 2 minute warning in the NFL is they stop the clock at each end of the half at 2 minutes. They do not.
I don't like the 2 minute warning.
Why? It's a free timeout.
You just said that. You don't like that the clock is stopping all the time. Why do you like it stopping at 2 minutes?
I didn't say that I did. I just want you to explain yourself.
Just what do you prefer?
I think it's a weird time to just stop.
Get keyed up or just what?
I really genuinely don't care. I've never really thought about the 2 minute warning.
Well, you should. It matters.
I don't get it. I think it's unnecessary.
It is weird. Now that I'm thinking about it, it's bizarre.
Why do you need that? You should be able to manage your own time.
And the NFL, it's like an extra timeout, and that's how they
play it like
they play it like
that. I'll go with college on this one.
I prefer college. I don't think they should have the
what
2 minute warning.
I've never actually thought about it, but it's weird that it's an arbitrary it's a 2 minute warning. Big deal. It'd be like
2 minute warning.
That's weird.
Now you'll notice it. Here's another thing you may not be aware of, and I can't remember the exact yardage from the sidelines, but the hash marks. You know what the hash marks are, I presume.
I do know.
Do you know what the hash marks are? In pro ball, the hash marks are tighter.
Yeah.
In college ball, they're wider. And that has an effect on kickers because if you've got a bounce on a particular side, the ball is set up at the hash mark.
Further out.
Angles in college ball for the kickers, it's tougher.
Interesting.
And so that's why even in pro and college, that's why if they were setting up for a field goal, they'll run it into the middle or to a certain area where the kicker wants to kick. That's where the ball is set. But you go outside the hash marks or you go out of bounds, it's at the nearest hash mark is where it's set down. And in college, the angles are greater.
Are there any other sports that there's such different rules between college and pro? You're listing all of these. Why are there so many differences?
I haven't really thought about it. Another thing is, I think we'll probably agree on
Somebody figure it out and tell me.
That in the NFL, there are only certain plays that can be reviewed. In college, anything can be reviewed, basically. I don't like how college gets slowed down.
It's just wide open. Oh, it gets exhausted. Some games take forever.
Yeah, where they review every single thing.
And then finally... I'm not going to read the exact language on either of these, but the targeting in the NFL and the targeting in college. So, of course, both of them have to do with the crown of the helmet, going at the head, and all that stuff. But in college, automatic gone.
Mm-hmm. I hate that.
NFL, you're not automatically gone, though you can be ejected if it's flagrant enough. What do you think on those?
I think NFL. I feel like we've talked about this before. There needs to be a little more leeway in deciding if it's flagrant enough to eject the player for the rest of the game.
Yeah, there should be tiers of it.
Yeah.
You know, if it's malicious or with intent. But there's so many plays where guys just are trying to make a tackle and their heads.
Yeah,
I don't like it. You've missed one. My biggest is the pass interference rule. In college, it's a 15-yard penalty.
Think about that.
Period.
One. Okay, bring it up. Just
you call it?
15-year. In the pros, it's a spot foul. It should be a spot foul both leagues. Period. If I'm a DB and I am getting beat and the ball's in the air, you bet your butt I'm going to tackle this dude before he catches the ball 70 yards downfield because it's a 15-yard penalty. Big whooped. But in the pros, if I do it, it's a spot foul. It should be the NFL rule.
Okay, I go back and forth on this one. Actually, it's a tough thing because if someone actually is getting beat and they tackle him, sometimes you can tell the guy juked him. He grabs him and so he can't catch the ball. But sometimes the guy throws like a 50-yard bomb.
It's a prayer.
And the guys go up, the dude and the ref throws his flag on some garbage.
Yeah.
And it's like they get bailed out.
Yeah.
And it's a 50-yard gain off a crappy call. That's the part of it that bugs me. That's where I hate that spot foul in the NFL.
Well, and a lot of the time they are hoping,
right,
not for the guy to catch it.
That's they want the PI. That's what I was going to say. I feel like a lot of times offenses do that purposefully. The quarterback just throws it up there, knowing likely the ref's going to bail him out. And then, like you said, sometimes that ends him up on the 5-yard line when it was designed.
In the end zone, way. You're on the 1-yard line.
Right.
I get what you're saying.
For defensive players, I think that's crap in the NFL.
There's just plays where a guy is 40 yards downfield, gets intentionally or not intentionally, he was going to catch it, gets taken out, PI, it's only a 15-yard penalty.
What do you think? And I'm just thinking outside the box here. Here's how we're thinking. We're thinking.
Wow.
If something like that is a judgment call.
We're giving Krefs too much credit on that then.
No, because here's... Yeah, but sometimes it's extremely obvious. I think I just saw a game, I can't remember which game, the guy faked like an out. The guy came up. He was going to break on him. He was just busted.
Grabbed him.
And he grabbed him.
Yeah.
To me, okay, you got burned, dude. That's a spot foul. It's going right here. Versus, you know, the guy cuts and you run into each other and it goes down and it's pass interference. To me, I'm okay with the 15 yards.
Okay, well, you got to pick one. You can't like, fence ride this.
Like that.
College.
I think I prefer college.
Oh, my gosh. I'm really surprised.
Only because I don't like the bailouts that the NFL
until
gets.
It's the Raiders that get beat.
The Raiders just did that yesterday. That's Raiders what I was suck. Thinking. Well, the Raiders suck. You know.
But that happened. It happens all the time. And I'm just going, okay, you just got screwed. You're holding them. And some guy throws up a prayer. And it's ticky-tack. And some ref decides to call
up. Or on a Hail Mary. I mean,
it 40-yard pass. Right.
Yeah, I don't like that.
But I can go, you know, on that I can go either way. But anyway, right. There you go.
There you go.
You've got it. Any final thoughts? We got a game here.
Big game. Biggest game of the year.
They get big, big, big.
Biggest game of the year. Be there. Be loud.
The weather should be great, which is a little chilly. Wonderful. So, it'll be a little
don't
chilly,
wear shorts unless you're an idiot.
Yeah. Wear something. I mean, dress warm. Get a bunch of alcohol in you so that you feel good.
I mean, we've had lightning. We've had very hot. So I'm looking forward to this where I can wear a sweatshirt.
It's the Ute Proud game.
It is the Ute Proud game.
I don't even have. We don't have that mini helmet.
So I believe they will be inviting the tribe. I don't That'd know be cool. that for sure, but they usually do. Just so, be there, please.
We need the Jackass award on the way out.
Jackass of the week.
So this is the Jackass award. Now, maybe some of you folk were watching the Texas-Oklahoma game on ABC, which is Channel 4.
It was a great game, by the way.
Unbelievable college football game. Almost doesn't get better than this.
No, it was the best game probably of the season, at least to this point, period.
Unbelievable game. I've come down. I mean, I'm not a great fan of either, but
no.
I was watching it going, freak, this is fun, particularly because Texas was kicking the snot. Yeah. Out of Oklahoma, and I was about to leave, and then
choked.
All of a sudden, they scored and scored, and Oklahoma comes all the way back,
and then it's tied.
With their second-string quarterback, they put Rattler out. They come back.
Good call, by the way.
It was a good call. The guy's good.
And Rattler's trash.
Oklahoma, I think this is the timing, tied the game up.
Yeah.
Okay, they tied the game up. I believe it's 5-6 minutes left in the game, and it's now here it is, setting this up. It's the same channel that the televised Zuby Boise State game was going to be on. It was going to come up after the Oklahoma-Texas game. Well, the Oklahoma-Texas game was going a little longer, like that does happen.
It happens almost every
week.
But
this is one of the best freaking college football games you can ever watch. It's tied up in an unbelievable comeback.
With 5 minutes left in the game.
5 minutes go. And there's a timeout for whatever. I go get a beverage to come back and watch what is going to happen here. And the freaking channel, Channel 4, the idiots over there made a decision to go to the Zuby game that was just starting. And there was nowhere else to find it except
I had to pull up on my phone.
Okay, there was a few, but there was nothing else. I had to find a radio channel on my XM.
To listen to the end? That's how you listen. I listened to the
freaking game because these a-holes. Hold up. These holes changed it so we could watch the Zuby first 5 minutes of the Zuby game instead of one of the best college football games.
You know how many times the Utes game has been on, like ESPN, and they'll just say, this game's going long. You can catch the start of the Utah game on ESPN News.
That's what I was going to say.
Man, it was unbelievable.
This happens every week where games go long. They go into overtime.
This is what happens.
They never switch over to the beginning of the first game because the fourth quarter is where you need to watch.
This is jackassery at its finest. King jackassery.
Especially this kind of game where it's tied. It was
unbelievable.
Yeah.
You don't.
This wasn't Massachusetts and Tulane playing.
No.
Which, okay, I wouldn't have cared.
Even, yeah, in that game, I would have done a big deal. This was one of the biggest college football rivalries. Huge comeback. Game is tied. And you're right.
Like I'm sitting 40-something.
And it kind of happened, and I kind of went, are they switching over? Sure enough.
Couldn't believe it, man.
I can't believe they could do that.
Dummies.
That they could make that call, so, to be honest.
ABC Channel 4.
Congratulations. This is their first win.
This is their first Jackass Award. And they highly deserve it.
Isn't ABC 4 the same channel that years and years ago switched Diplods. Over from the Utah-Wyoming game and put on Harry Potter? Do you all remember that?
I do remember that. I think it was.
I'm pretty sure that was ABC 4. So they maybe it's the same person that's still there 20 years later that's still making these horrible judgment calls.
It was bad. That was
that was terrible. So I'm sorry.
Congrats on the jackass of the
maybe
week.
The Zoobies were going crazy on Cougar board and they couldn't miss the first 2 minutes. Anyway.
Maybe they
ran it in.
Maybe they wanted Jackassery to miss the rest
Channel
of the game.
4. All right. Ute fans. Saturday.
Gonna be a good one.
This sets us up big to win the South. We need everyone there, and we need to be loud and supportive.
And if you can't sell your tickets, give them away or let one of us know. We know plenty of people that would love to go to the game. We need the stadium full.
Yep.
Be there. It's gonna be amazing. It's gonna be amazing.
Let's do it.
Yes.
Take us out, K. Scott.
Ready?
I'm ready.
Where'd our bug go, by the way?
I have telling you what, no idea. He was right there, and he's gone.
That bug was that big.
We should name him.
The bunker bug.
The bunker bug.
I think it was that big. Yeah, that was the size of the bug.
Right there. We stacking them W's, pay attention. Opponents coming with apprehension. We stay on top of our division. Went from BCS buses to playoff contenders. We on the rise up. Now the boys mad. Come on, Utes. We at the Titan. Take these boys out. That was a fun week, I gotta say. We on the rise up. Now the boys mad. We at the Titan. The boys up.
We here for the crown. We on the rise up. For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.